What's Up with Ryan Smith, the official podcast for the Queensland Reds.
G'day guys, welcome to the first ever episode of Socks Up with me, Ryan Smith. We're proud to partner with Triple M to produce this podcast, which is designed to take you behind the scenes at the Queensland Reds with all the hottest news, guests and hottest takes, including finding out who really does need to pull their socks up. Each week I'll be dragging one of the boys off the training paddock to help me out and also my mate Pete from upstairs, the suit.
The boring guy keeping things on track.
How are you, Pete?
Smithy, I'm very well, mate. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Mate, talk me through the podcast. What are we going to be hearing?
Oh, mate, we're just going to be having a bit of a chit-chat with anyone we can get our hands on, really. I think you suggested Tate McDermott, which would have been an absolute snooze fest. So lucky to have someone else on this week. But yeah, mate, we're going to be sort of talking with players, talking to coaches if we can get our hands on them, getting a little bit behind the scenes, trying to, you know, let the fans have pretty special access to players and staff and, yeah, get some good insight.
Mate, are we going to find out more about you and your journey, or do we just assume that you're one of these guys who came through, played junior Wallabies, went to Churchy, first 15, skipped Colts rugby, that sort of thing?
Oh, I wish, mate. I would have had less news articles about myself. I think we really dive into the fact that I had a trade and kind of went the old school pathway of going through club rugby onto trying to toil away and make some premier grade caps there for Brothers. Eventually he was lucky enough that a few boys were away at the World Cup 2019 for the Reds. So I got pulled in to hold some pads and get thrown up in the line out. And eventually a few boys got better offers overseas, which was another lucky one. And there just happened to be some space there for me to jump in and yeah, again, hold some pads for another couple of years. But yeah, definitely didn't come the what seems to be the traditional pathway these years with guys coming out of first 15 programs, which are pretty elite these days, into schoolboys and junior Wallabies sort of fold. But yeah, eventually got here nonetheless.
From the line out to the limelight, and now with your very own podcast, mate, very cool. Mate, talk us through our special guest today from a teammate's perspective, the kind of guy he is, and then maybe we can crunch some of the numbers before we welcome him.
Yeah, well, I was super lucky to have one of my really good mates, Harry Wilson, on the podcast. He was my first choice. Yeah, Wilson is just an absolute pleasure to have around the field. He's a big energy driver for us on and off the field, and yeah, probably cares a bit more about his cricket and golf than he does his rugby, but always good to have him on and good to have a chat with him.
Well, he's Wallaby number 933, so don't believe it if you go to wallabies.com. There's a typo there that needs to be fixed up. 12 caps for the Wallabies, made his debut versus the All Blacks in Wellington back in 2020. Last year, he won the Stan Pilecki medal as the best and fairest for the Queensland Reds. 44 Queensland Reds Super Rugby caps and 13 tries, which is a phenomenal strike rate.
Wilso, thanks for coming on, mate.
No, thanks for having me, Smithy. I'm really excited to be on your first ever podcast of Socks Up.
A lot of guys would obviously know you from your rugby and also your cricket. Recently, you've been getting into golf. How's your handicap looking? Where have you been playing?
Yeah, so the handicap's still quite high, which I think it might stay up there. It's 27 at the moment, which something I'm not too proud of, but got to start somewhere. But yeah, signed up out at Nudgee Golf Course with a few of the other boys, Fraser Crichton, Lawson Crichton. So we're all trying to get better together at the moment. We're all mediocre at it, but it's good to do something on the off day, that's for sure.
Lawson's been talking it up. I think he's come in a few the last couple of weeks. Your pairing, how's that going? Is he giving you some tips?
I'm giving him tips, even though he's a lot better than me. But he actually came second in our most recent tournament and won $30. So maybe it means he'll eventually pay for the buggy for us. But no, he deliberately got his handicap up and then nearly won the comp.
That's gone. So bit of a cricketer through school. I think you played 3 years of first 11 cricket. Is that correct?
It is.
That's huge. Brother plays down there at North, first grade. You've had a few games down there. How's your cricketing going these days? I know you talked to me recently in Narrabri saying that you would have wanted to go into a commentating career of cricket after footy. How's that shaping up?
Yeah, no, obviously I love my cricket. It's probably my first love was definitely cricket, and it's obviously now I can't play anymore. I guess I just watch more cricket, and if that's going down watching North's first grade play with Sam or just watching the most recent series in India, it's something I love doing. And yeah, as I said, I'd be a great commentator in cricket, but Yeah, I think that probably stuffed up for me when I started playing rugby, but no, I definitely love my cricket.
With the cricket, talk us through what type of player you were.
Yeah, I was quite an attacking player. I wasn't a fan of trying to block, and so I was definitely about going after it and trying to whack it. It's probably a bit of my rugby background. It's rugby's 80 minutes, so I try to make my innings as no longer over 80 minutes. So went out there and, yeah, try to smack it around and got lucky a few times. And the worst thing about cricket is when you get out for not many, it sucks. But then the best thing is when you get a few runs, it's the best sport in the world.
Yeah, good. Very jealous. I wish I could have some more knowledge about cricket, but you were talking to me about what a flipper was the other day, and my only knowledge of that is from Captain Kim, so don't know too much about it at all, to be honest.
Well, so obviously trial match against the Waratahs down in Narrabri. You're almost a local down in those parts, aren't you, from New South Wales? How did that feel?
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool being back there. I'm from Gunnedah, New South Wales, which is about an hour from Narrabri. So, yeah, it was quite weird for me being back there. I had a fair bit of support compared to, I guess, most of the other boys. But, definitely grew up there, but a proud Queenslander now, as you know, Pete. But, I love being back there, and it's a good start to, I guess, the season for the boys.
And, Smithy, two trials as we head into round one. Talk me through the preparations. The result against the Force was really good. A lot of new players coming through in the squad. A couple of really hot trials as well, which is probably a good indicator heading into Townsville.
Yeah, we had a pretty handy year last year. We just couldn't quite finish off a few of those games, especially against the Kiwi guys. So through that off-season, we've kind of had a few of our key marker points, things around our discipline in certain areas, bit of our set piece stuff. So we've really worked on that on the off season, which has been really fun, and it gives us sort of markers. We've got five specific markers each game to tick off. So we do that through our training, but to finally get a few games to actually, you know, look at that and put that into practice and see, they're very visual with it. If we've got it hit the threshold there, we get a big green tick. And if we're sort of close, we'll get an orange dot. And if we're, you know, pretty far off, we get a big red X. So it's pretty easy to follow us, and for a lot of us visual learners, I think it makes it pretty easy. We don't have to be looking at percentages of kicks and how they all worked out. It's very clear for us. So to be able to put that into practice in a game, and obviously it's first round coming up, it's going to be bloody hot up in Townsville. So to have that one in Perth, which was, I think, about 37 degrees, I think I lost 2 kilos and only played about 60 minutes. We also probably lost about 8 kilos, a pretty heavy sweater. But yeah, it was an awesome test. And again, in Narrabri, I think we were pretty lucky. The girls were out there. We were pretty lucky through the day, sitting in 19 degree aircon in my room, having a nap while the girls were sort of running out there in 36 degrees. By the time we got out there, a little bit cooler, but good to test ourselves in those hot conditions, because that's exactly what we're going to get round one. And hopefully the Kiwis haven't had a lick of that in their whole preseason. So hopefully we can get a little bit of an edge on them there.
Will, say, how about Japan, mate? Opportunity to go over and play against Panasonic Wild Knights and bring some new guys through the Queensland Premier Rugby Challenger Series into that squad. A couple of guys have ended up with contracts as well. Talk us through that tour and a couple of those new faces.
Yeah, no, that tour was a really good initiative from, I guess, Reds and Panasonic to, I guess, they built that relationship a few years ago. And to actually go over there and, I guess, experience playing over in Japan and, just being over there a few weeks was awesome. And I guess for us, having a cap super game over there against Panasonic was unreal. And we had a really good win against them too, but just more, I think we would have had 8 debutants over there. So that only strengthens us for this season. Someone like a Connor Anderson, who I guess is destined to play a lot of Super Rugby this year, has already made his debut for the Reds and showed that he's up to the level, which is, rather than coming in this year unknown whether he's up to the level, he knows he is because he's already performed in the Queensland jersey.
Off the field in Japan, we know how rugby mad they are as a nation. Who were the guys who were getting recognised and getting stopped for photos, and who walked out of that tour feeling half Japanese and feeling like a local, Smithy?
Oh, I think they pretty much just walked up to anyone that was over 6 foot and they were like asking for photos and signatures. The fan support there was crazy. After one of the sessions, Lawson had me there just catching kickoffs for him. And we were probably there for another 35, 40 minutes odd after the training had finished. And there were fans just standing there waiting for us to come over, just two battlers to come over and get a photo with them. And then the next day they'd had the photos, you know, that they took that day, printed out, ready for us to sign the next day. Like, absolutely mental. The support over there is fantastic. And they absolutely love their rugby. But, yeah, pretty easy to spot a few rugby players over there in Saitama, I must admit.
Kumagaya Rugby Town. That's what it's called. They love their footy.
There's posters and flyers in all the shops with rugby boys on there, especially the Panasonic guys. And we just kept saying that we were from Panasonic when we walked over there trying to get free food, to be honest. A few free rice bowls, those chicken rice bowls.
Did it work?
Yeah, the one round the corner from where we were staying walked in there, and I reckon 40 of us across the weekend walked in there and walked out with like huge mounds of chicken that I don't know if anyone finished them. Zane Noggle did actually finish it. He's a weapon. But the rest of us were sort of eating one piece of chicken and leaving it and trying to pay, and they'd sort of take your money, and then by the time you walk out the door, they're waiting at the front of the shop to hand you your money back and say, don't worry about it. And I ended up walking in and giving them a fair bit of Reds kit and all the new Canterbury stuff. So they were pretty chuffed with that. But yeah, it was just an awesome experience over there. The fans stick around once the game ends and give you a big clap and take lots of photos. And I think my followers went from 100 to 200 after just that one weekend. There's just, I've got a heap of Japanese followers that give me a few messages all the time. It's pretty cool.
Wild Knights are coming down here back end of 2023 to reciprocate the the visit. Where would you recommend the Panasonic boys go around Brisbane to try and get themselves a free feed or drink?
Gallopers Sports Club. That's their best option. No, I think they might find it quite strange being here, and maybe not as much fans trying to look after them, giving them free stuff. But no, it's going to be awesome when Panasonic come out here. They're obviously very good hosts to us when we're over there. Even their players helped us out quite a lot. So I guess for us, when they get over here, we'll try and make them feel welcome and hopefully get the same result in the field again.
I'll just add that Gallopers is around the corner from Wilso, so he's definitely trying to get a little side hustle there. So might have to cut that out.
So, lads, obviously, we got an opportunity to bring everyone who's listening right into the inner sanctum and give them a little bit of what's happening behind the scenes. Let's talk through how we're looking squad-wise heading into round one. Firstly, some of the new signings. It's a pretty consistent squad from last year. Not too many new additions, but Luke Jones, Penny Ravi, you mentioned Connor Anderson. Who else has come in, Wilso, and caught your eye, and what can you tell us about them?
Well, I guess just there with someone like Luke Jones and Penny Ravi, they're both international players who have only come in and strengthened us with, I guess, losing Tenny Olatupo for the season. It's less than ideal, but to have a replacement like Penny, who's played 30-odd games for Fiji, played over in France and won the toughest competitions in the world, he's been great for our young props. And then Luke Jones in the second row, he's got a lot of experience there. He's really been helping out someone like Ryan Smith and a few of the other boys. And it's been nice to have a few older heads come in because we are quite a young team. So the few older heads just help us out a bit there too.
I think they bring the average age up by about 15 years, just those two. So we've got a pretty young squad. So it's always good to have those guys jumping in and giving us a bit of a hand. There's like some absolute gems that Jonesy pulls out around the line-out stuff. Penny Ravi around the scrum stuff. I think his best piece of advice so far was, if you're tired, scrum first, then tired. So that was a good bit of advice he gave us halfway through a session, which coming from someone that big, you just listen, nod your head and pack down for another one.
I think your mate Scotty Higginbotham played with both of those guys over in France. So I wonder whether he's possibly got a little commission involved with getting them in. But he was saying that Penny Ravi, you know, is good for a try most games, and that here's a guy who's, you know, an international prop, but he's also played sevens for Fiji. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I guess when you watch the Narrabri game against Waratahs, I think he was on there for about 15 minutes and had about six big carries, two line breaks, and you could kind of see the Tars defence kind of moving sideways when he's running, because I know I've definitely done that a few times at training too, because he's a big man with acceleration, which not many forwards have, so... he's very exciting for us, and I'm sure he'll be a new fan favourite. So I think Seru Uru's got someone to worry about. He might lose his fan base.
Yeah, definitely. We've obviously had a few long-term injuries from last year, so it's going to be awesome to have the likes of Ronga's Suli sort of battling away last year, get him back in red-hot form. Guys, over the sort of off-season, NASA's been battling away, was in crazy good form for UQ. He's, you know, on his way back, going to come back into the early weeks of this year. So be awesome to see guys that we've been able to see working really hard in the off season to be able to come in and obviously get some game time and have a good crack at it. Ron has been training the house down.
I agree there. Someone like Josh Fluke was out for quite a while last year, but the way he's come back from his few games already, he's a new player. He's come back a bit bigger. He's I guess he's another year old, a bit more experienced, but he's come on and just set the house on fire. And him and Zachy Henry have been working really well together in the centres, and they're two people who have missed a lot of footy. But, yeah, it's been really cool seeing them work together, and I think they'll be a dangerous combo.
Heading into round one, talk us through who we're not going to see on the paddock. I think the squad's pretty fit as a general rule, and there's a lot of competition for places, but who's been ruled out?
Yeah, obviously, a few of our front row guys, Harry Hooper, unfortunately, was over with Aussie in Japan. He's done a ACL, so we won't quite see him for the super season. Hopefully, he'll be back for a bit of the tail end of the club rugby stuff. Obviously, Taniela's out for a bit, and both the Blythe brothers have been out. They'll be out for at least the first little bit of the season. Apart from that, we're looking pretty strong. You know, got some guys that are really stepping up. Zane Nongul's stepping into Taniela's spot, and just been absolutely killing it at training, an absolute workhorse. I think he gets the shout-outs every training session for work rate, working back really hard, which is one of our pillars, funny enough, that we were talking about earlier. So he's going to be one to really look out for this year. He's been working pretty hard with Penny Ravi, and you know, even Nella and Hoops have been there on the sidelines helping him out with the scrummaging stuff. So it's looking really, really pleasing.
Some new coaches coming in as well. Mick Heenan, Phil Blake, Kane Hames, they join head coach Brad Thorne's team. What impact have they had on the group, Wilso?
You know, it's been really good. I guess we've had the same coaches for 3 to 4 years. So I think with this group, it's been nice to have a bit of change. And obviously we haven't had a complete change, still having a few of our old coaches, which has been awesome. But I guess someone like Phil Blake coming in defence, he's got a league background, so he keeps it really simple for us. He's all about getting line speed and trying to whack blokes, which is something everyone's been buying into. And yeah, just the whole keep it simple rule has been, I guess, good for someone probably like me and Ryan who don't really want to overthink out there. And then I guess Kane Hames coming in the forwards too, he's been awesome for us. He's a scrum guru, and as Queensland, we've always had a good scrum, so he's only came in and helped us, I guess, smarten up around the technical areas of the scrum, and I hope we can see some real good, I guess, fortune there this year again.
I think all those guys coming in, been a bit of a workload for Owen, who's our head of analysis. He's been trying to teach Phil Blake how to use a computer most mornings, so that's been pretty funny to watch him two fingers typing on the computers, and Kane's been drawing all these line-out plays out on a piece of paper, which is pretty old school. So trying to, it's been really cool just to see. We've got just such great ideas, and might not be super polished, but everyone's buying into it. So it's been awesome, awesome start to the year.
And as two brothers, boys, we've tried not to mention Mick Heenan because of all the success he's had over us for UQ over many, many years. But someone like him coming in who he's got the runs on the board, and he's kind of like Smithy. He's gone through the pathway with his coached at UQ for 15 years and nearly 15 premierships in that time. But he's been really good. He's a very simple operator, just get it right, and he keeps it very simple for us too in our attack structure. So he's been really good to add in, and he's somebody the boys have really enjoyed having.
With Blakey, we're starting to see more and more coaches with a rugby league background. Anthony Seibold was with England there, Jason Ryles, even back to John Muggleton with the Wallabies. Is there anything really specific, Mungo, that he brings to the table?
With Blakey, he just, as I said, he keeps it really simple, but he's really big on the dual contacts. Because you know in rugby league, when someone runs up, one goes low, one comes over the top and tries to wrestle and, I guess, slow the ball down. So that's got relevance in rugby where someone goes low, he wants somebody going over the top trying to whack him. But then if you can't get a good whack, hold him up, wrestle, slow the ball down. Because the slower it is for us, we can get our line set, then bring line speed the next phase. So I guess that's been his big focus, which I know every defence coach is probably slightly different, but that's definitely been his big focus for us.
Yeah, he's sort of been also drumming on about that sort of in that C zone. So from our 50 to our 22, sort of just staying out of the ruck, keeping it pretty clean in there so that, you know, if a penalty doesn't arise, then we're not chasing back and trying to defend a driving maul, which, as we know, in the last couple of years especially, has been really dominant force in rugby union. So if we can just completely avoid that area and by staying really clean and staying out of the breakdowns down there and just wanting to defend really hard, and you know, you don't have to slow it down that exact ruck, it might be the very next one, you just get up hard, dual contact, as Wilso says, you know, put them on their back, that's what's going to slow it down to then again, you know, it's a flow-on effect into the next phase. And yeah, as Wilso was saying before, he keeps it nice and simple, especially with his messaging about just get up hard, and if your bloke inside of you goes in, you just chase him in and pretty much just start whacking him, which has been really cool. It's been really enjoyable.
Ryan, every episode you're going to shine a light on someone who needs to pull their socks up. It might be within the program. It could be, you know, Kanye West. Tell us who's got to pull their socks up this week.
Oh, I wanted to keep it in-house for the first episode. It was brought up in one of the team meetings, but young George Blake has just been rattling off to me for the last 2 years that I've known him, and Wilson can probably attest to this, about how badly he wanted a 160 bench. He's been looking really good through the whole of the preseason, working hard. He does lots of yelling in the gym, actually. He pumps himself up for it and lays down for our testing on Tuesday, ready to get the bar up, and it flies up for the bottom third. A little bit of a sticky point about a third of the way up, and slowly grinds it out. And our socks up for the week, Richie Asiata has absolutely stolen a rep from him, a new PB on the bench, and lifted the bar off of him before he could lift it up. Coincidentally, they both play in the same position, so I don't know if there's a bit in that. He's trying to take that 160 off him. But yeah, Richie, mate, that is not on. I know it's been brought up in the team meeting, but I'm just going to have to put you on blast here again. I would expect something like that from Matthew Fesler, the pig. But from you, mate, I couldn't be more ashamed of you. So pull your socks up. How are we looking for 2023? How's the off-season, pre-season been going? And what are your specific goals for 2023?
Yeah, I guess it's been a good off-season. I guess everyone does have a good off-season, so that's no surprise there. But I guess for me this year, I'm really excited to play for Reds. I feel as if the last 2 years has been up and down, which has been frustrating for us, and I feel as if a lot of teams are kind of writing us off this year. So I guess for us, it's really exciting, and I really want to be a part of finals. I want to get to semis, I want to get to the grand, and I want to be in it to win it. So that's something I'm really excited for Reds this year. And then I'd love to get back in the Wallaby setup and play there. So I know if I play some good footy for Reds, it's only going to give me a good chance there. So I guess for me, it's just about focusing on Reds and bring some success here.
I know last year they had the opportunity to possibly come on the Aussie A tour. You sort of missed out on that. Were you keen to do that because you had a heap of mates in there? Was it just another group of coaches? What was your sort of thinking there?
Yeah, I was really excited to go on that Australia A tour. I was got pulled out of it 2 days before it, which was, I guess, a bit frustrating at the time. But yeah, I guess it's pretty cool to have so many good mates in the Aussie A tour, which I would have really enjoyed being over in Japan with. And I guess someone like Jason Gilmore, who coached me when I was under 20s, I've got a really good relationship with, and it would have been nice to, I guess, be coached by him again and just, I guess, be coached by a different coach and just keep up with the learnings there. But yeah, I did miss out not getting to spend some time with you over there.
Well, so can you talk us through, when you say you got pulled out 2 days beforehand, obviously you'd been in the Wallabies squad for the rugby championship. Talk us through that process when you did get pulled out and whose decision that was.
Yeah, so I think we had a test match on that Saturday, which I was picked in, and then I think they were naming the squad on the Thursday. So since I was picked in that test match, Dave pulled me out of the Aussie tour, which at the time I thought was probably a good thing in my, I guess, chances for the spring tour. But in hindsight, probably hurt my chances of not being over there to be able to play some footy. But I guess everything happens for a reason. So for me, it was just to get back to Reds preseason, go over to Japan, and that was another awesome trip too. So I guess, yeah.
Sounds like you sort of take the value out of having different coaches, new coaches, and also playing with sort of different teammates. Obviously, had guys coming up from club. Do you take a bit of value out of, you know, not only learning from other guys, but maybe being able to reinforce your own knowledge and be able to sort of give some knowledge to guys coming through, like, you know, Jakey Upfield from Gunnedah, the Gunnedah Express.
Gunnedah Express.
Or, you know, some of those other younger guys. Do you think you kind of take a bit out of being able to not only absorb knowledge from the likes of Luke Jones and such, but also be able to pass it on to some of the younger guys?
Yeah, definitely. I guess that's just a part of footy. I guess a few years ago, I was a guy wanting to learn everything. And then now, the more you learn, you want to also give back to a few of the other boys. And I guess on that Reds tour, it was quite refreshing to be with a lot of club footy players who this was their first opportunity of Reds. As you said, Jake Upfield, Connor Anderson, I guess Tane Riori and Louis Wersch, and a lot of them, they were just so excited to be there. And just the pure excitement for every training session and every time we're together was awesome to be around. And I guess as a professional footballer, sometimes you take that for granted. You're just saying, oh, it's another week, another trip away. But how excited they were was something which I loved. And yeah, when you're around positive people, it really makes a lot better. And that's what that trip was definitely like.
Louis Wershon making comment about how he was stoked to get a rugby contract because it meant he didn't have to work anymore. Thorny gave him the biggest death stare.
What do you mean you're not going to work anymore? You've just signed on, mate.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
That was great.
Well, so let's talk Wallabies a little bit. You've had the opportunity to play a few tests over the last couple of years, been a little bit in and out of that team, and now a new head coach comes in, Eddie Jones. It's a Rugby World Cup year. How do you see all of that sitting for yourself? And is that a good thing for you to have a fresh set of eyes picking the team?
Yeah, I guess it is, because I guess Dave Rennie, he was really good for me. He's given me 12 caps for my country, so that's something I really appreciate. But I guess I felt over the last 2 years I was kind of in and out, and I guess coming to this year, I guess before he was gone, I wasn't really sure where I was sitting. And then to have someone like Eddie Jones come in, it's just really exciting. I know every single person on our team was quite excited, because they know it's a new set of eyes, and if you kill it this year, it's only going to give you the best opportunity to, I guess, get picked in the Wallabies, which in a World Cup year, it's really cool, because there's no bigger calendar year in, I guess, the four-year cycle than the World Cup year. So, yeah, I'm just really excited for the year, and, hopefully it's all positive from here.
Have you had the opportunity to meet him or to speak to him or anything like that around what he sees your role might be?
No, I haven't spoken to him yet, which hasn't really worried me. I need to, perform in Super Rugby, then hopefully from there I'll speak to him. But, for me, I'm just worrying about, playing well for Reds at the moment.
Have you spoken to anyone who's played under him before or heard any of the infamous stories around Eddie?
Yeah, I've heard a few. They're all quite funny. David Croft, we caught up with him at a brothers night. There was a lot of brothers legends there, and Queensland legends and Wallabies legends. So he had a fair few funny stories to us about Eddie, and he said to a few of us, if we ever want to catch up with him for a coffee and see how Eddie works, he'll happily do that. But he was so positive about him. He said he's only going to bring out the best in you, and which was nice to hear that. Such positive words about him, and then you hear the funny stories how he rides players, and you got to make sure you're doing everything right. So I guess it doesn't worry you, as long as you're in the squad, you'll happily get ridden or whatever. You just need to get there first.
Every week here on Socks Up, we're going to be lucky enough to be joined by one of our women's players. This week, we're lucky enough to have Bree Cheatham on. Cheetah, how you going?
Great. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. We're just going to come through. I got Wilso and Pete here with me. First of all, I have heard you have a wicked pre-game dance recital. Can you talk me through it? Is there a bit of a dance background you've got going on there?
Absolutely not. I like to think I can dance, just bust the move out, try something new. I think last week at a trial I was jerking. So, gotta show the girls who's boss.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that S&C approved, or is that just off your own bat there?
It's off my own bat. My calves definitely hurt after, so it wasn't the best move, but, lesson learned.
Yeah.
G'day, Cheetah. It's Harry here. So your previous trial against the Waratahs, you just went down. What was your thoughts on that trial game?
Going into the trial, we had about three different groups and teams we wanted to rotate through. Trying to get those combinations between our backs and forwards, changing the nines, the tens, our centres, getting all those combinations ready for round one. As you said, went down just in that game. So, working on our pre-season this year, fitness was a big key for us. Last year and the years before, our fitness was one of the factors why we weren't getting the results we wanted. So fitness, our workout, and I think that was evident through our game on the weekend. Waratahs didn't score until that late, early 50, 60 minutes. So, that defense and that work rate was really good over the weekend.
Cheetah, it's Pete here. Talk me through the composition of the squad in terms of the vibes off the field. It seems like every time we see you guys at Ballymore, there's a lot of laughter and a lot of noise coming from the team room.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very important, having that joking, laughing off the field before trainings, all that. It's just making us come together as a team, learning about each other, that trust. And it's good for the body, good for the mind and soul.
Awesome. Thanks, Cheetah. Thanks for being our first guest, and we'll catch you later.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, so every week here, we're going to put their guests through the paces, through the ringer. We're just going to ask 10 quick questions. Without thinking, give us a short, quick answer. Let's take it from the top. What would you be doing if you didn't play rugby for a living?
I'd love to say professional golfer, but most likely a PE school teacher.
Next Reds player to make the Wallabies debut.
Besides being you, Ryan, I'd say Josh Fluke.
Oh, big. I agree. Best player you've ever played with?
A fit Taniela Tupou or a Fraser McCrite playing with Reds and a bit of Michael Hooper at Wallabies level.
You definitely said Hooper to me in the car the other day.
Got to keep Fraser happy.
Best player you've played against?
Probably Artie Sevilla.
Best and worst fashion sense at the Reds?
I love Liam Wright's fashion, but if I think everyone else have the same answer, yeah, Liam Wright. He only wears free gear, so if anyone wants to give him free gear, Wrongers will wear it.
And the best?
Seth Fagasi.
Oh, I agree.
He's always looking dolled up. He's great.
Daddy. Name and shame the players who got haircuts and were doing push-ups before media and content day.
Dane Zander. Dane Zander got Rich Yasiata to give him a haircut just before it, and he may have had a bit of a pump on from the gym. Strictly biceps, triceps. DZ knows how to work it.
No sit-ups. Who should never be allowed near the AUX cable in the gym and why?
Connor Vest and Luke Jones, because I have not heard one word in any song. It's only doosh, doosh, doosh. It's terrible.
Three dream dinner guests.
Ooh, that's a good one. Shane Warne, if that's allowed. Sam Burgess and Sylvester Stallone.
Big Rocky Balboa. And going into that, it's a great segue. Favourite movie ever?
Oh, Rocky IV. Ivan Drago, see you, mate.
And our final question, what's your death row meal? Entree, main, dessert and a drink.
Ooh. Entree, garlic bread, keep it simple. The main, tacos made by mum. Dessert, chocolate cake, mum's chocolate cake with a bit of ice cream with it. And drink, a Tui's new.
That's a huge shout out for Mandy.
Yeah, keep it basic there.
I like that, appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in for episode 1 of Socks Up, and if you don't mind, please subscribe.
Yeah, very well done, Smithy. Gents, before we knock off round 1 this weekend, how are you feeling and what can the fans expect?
Yeah, really excited. Round 1 up at Townsville, our fortress, 1 from 1 up there. So, no, we're really excited. We're going to play a lot of fast footy. It's going to be nice and warm, so we'll try and run them around and use the heat to our advantage.
Yeah, second that. Can't wait to get out there. It's like a carpet in that stadium. It's really well looked after, so keen to get the running boots on and streak away for a few tries alongside Wilso. Can't wait. Thanks again to Pete and Wilso, and we'll catch you ahead of the next home game against the Drua.
Go the Reds.